Why would I be in charge?
Because
Putting me
I
in charge seems like a really, really bad idea.
think it's a great idea. You did such a good job on the previous shows.
Yeah, but when I'm in charge, I screw things up all the time.
That's okay.
I had like it took me four tries to get the name of the show right once.
But
What are we doing?
it makes the show real.
We're doing this professionally? Or do we care?
It's true.
Hello, and welcome to episode 53 of the Dots, Lines, and Destinations podcast. Today is May 8th, 2014. Steven has bullied me into taking control. This is Seth. Also got Foz on the call. Rolo, our intrepid producer, is missing in action. Hopefully we'll find him a little bit later. But in the meantime, we've got plenty of things to talk about. Unfortunately, just before Steven bullied me into taking control, he actually wrote down what all of them are, so I actually have no idea what's on the agenda today. Steven, would you care to chime in?
Yeah, let's talk about the BA Awards.
How'd I do?
I think you did pretty good. I hats off to you, my friend.
It's a good first time.
Wait, hats.
Hats off. I have a hat on.
We all should have hats on. It's Derby Day.
It is Derby Day,
We are
actually.
recording this on Saturday afternoon, and it is the Kentucky Derby post time is about an hour from now, so.
It's true. We have to get the horns out, man.
Has anyone placed a bet?
I haven't.
No, I have not either.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna bet on a horse.
You are. Whichever one has a airplane or aviation theme.
That would
A
be a good
horse
way
with no name.
Well, that would be a different sort of theme, but actually I don't even know who the horses are running in today. Not that I would know anything about any of them anyways, but
I forgot it was today, I'll be honest. So BA Awards using U.S. Airways miles, the BA Awards don't have any fuel surcharge on them right now, right? That's the way I read this. So you're saving $500.
sometimes more.
And is it anywhere BA flies? I mean, I think that's kind of important.
I believe so. I haven't been able to find anything to actually book. The only thing I'm finding is coach, and well, I don't really care about coach. So I'm still looking, but it'd be interesting. And somehow I don't think the elusive JFK London City flights will be available.
So it's you can book these on usairways.com.
No.
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
You
That
have to
was funny
call.
though.
Yes, I don't think you can book any awards on usair.com. Maybe US Air Awards.
Yeah, you can book some US Air Awards on their site. I actually don't know if they added American into it or not. But yeah, there's definitely no partners. There never has been.
So just call if
Yeah,
you
you
can
can
find
find the
availability.
availability using one of the many other sites. American's actually decent for searching for them. BA is decent for searching for it. Qantas does too. And then call it into US Airways. And the gist of it is basically they were, for whatever reason, not charging the YQ on any of those awards.
Probably they can't figure out how to do it in shares.
Do they use shares?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, this merger is going to go terribly then.
Oh, they're throwing it away though.
US Air used to use Sabre. America West used shares, and they opted to use shares when they merged those two.
Oh, we know how that went.
Yes. Still paying for it.
I actually don't know that it's a shares thing so much. I mean, I take that back. The being able to book partner awards isn't necessarily a shares thing so much as a pricing and fare filing thing, I think. But
You think if they left the YQ out, it seems like the
no,
US
just in
Airways.
general, not even just specific to the YQ. I think that the YQ is just because US Airways has never done that before,
Yeah.
and their agents don't know that they're supposed to because they manually price everything because none of it's built in. They don't have any of the auto price systems built the way most other airlines do.
Yeah.
So let me get this right. Paris is in Texas, so your fuel surcharge will be $63, sir.
Something like that.
I could see that happening. Georgia, you mean Georgia like the state? Okay.
We don't have fuel surcharges to Georgia, sir.
That's
Thank
fine. Just book it. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, but the good news is, at least as of this past week, when a whole bunch of blogs finally, I mean, it's been since they joined Oneworld that it was this way. So the whole month, and then this last week, a whole bunch of blogs started writing about it. I think it's been discussed on Flyer Talk and Mile Point as well, although I'm not certain. So it would not surprise me to learn that things have changed eventually to figure it out and actually, enforce the rules. But as of the time that we've been recording this, I believe that it's still open like that.
Yeah. So get on it. Get on it, listeners. If you wanted some.
And I actually believe they just launched another 100% bonus buy sale for the month of May. So, I don't have my affiliate links available for thepoints.com, but it's there.
That's an interesting thought. Do you think that as they merge with American, that kind of promotion stuff is going to go away? Or do you think it's a significant piece of revenue for them?
You know, American has also sold with big bonuses, not 100%. It's usually been 30 to 40 where it maxes out. I think that there will continue to be promotions like that. I will say I was at, so last week, week before, at FTU or just before FTU. So right before the last, comedic recording we had, I was at a conference, loyalty program conference, basically. It's fun right before the Freddie Awards dinner. And it's basically a bunch of people who work in all of the different loyalty programs get together and talk about, you know, how their programs work. And there's a bunch of consulting companies that try to sell them things. It's an interesting industry event. And one of the presentations given was from one of the airlines that frequently has 100% bonus mile sale offerings. And the guy basically got up there and put a slide up on the screen that I have a horrible, crappy photo of on my phone that I keep meaning to write a story about. Got to see if the photo's even legible, really. And one of the slides basically shows good miles and bad miles. And the idea is that the miles that the airlines give us for flying, they consider bad miles. And the miles that they give us through partner transactions, they consider good miles. And the good miles are good to them because the cost overall, you know, the sort of TCO of having those miles on their books is lower because they accrued some income when they sold them versus just having to sort of convince someone at the company to shift some of the revenue from the fare bucket over to them. And so it really becomes an accounting game of they track two different types of miles within their systems, even though we only ever see one number. And it becomes this sort of how do you maximize or sort of shift really the number of good miles your passengers are earning relative to the bad miles. And so ultimately they want us to buy miles and get miles via partners, not get them from flying. And that's horribly depressing for me because I love flying. But yeah.
We just need an awkward silence there with a cricket. That's...
But I think we're starting to see that with all the shifts in how you earn RDMs. Like what Delta is doing, they're saying that they value the credit card miles more than actual flight miles.
Might say that again?
The good miles versus bad miles. With the RDM changes at Delta recently, they're actually saying that they prefer the credit card miles and all those miles and the ones that you earn from actually flying. I think that was pretty evident. And so that was probably the first bit of evidence we've seen that that is the new philosophy.
Yeah, then I think that's very true. And, you know, that's going to be the trend the industry takes. It has been for some years and it's going to continue to be. And so I think that we're very much moving in that direction. And it's depressing for me, except that, you know, I do know how to get the miles to partner too. I just like flying more. So,
yeah, I enjoy the actual art of flying. And I guess they saw how much revenue they could get from the other avenues and.
Yeah,
and they prefer to deliver it that way.
I'll see if I can clear up this. There was one point they said they might share the slides from the presentation, so I was kind of hoping to get a good picture of it. But if I can't find that, I will just try to clean up the stupid cell phone snapshot I took in a darkened room. It was really a very interesting discussion overall. And you know, I think we really, as a sort of frequent flyer community, are going to learn a lot about good miles versus bad miles real quickly, especially considering that they actually are just using those terms now.
BQMs and GQMs?
I think we got Rolo on the call now. The producer has joined us.
Yes, the producer is here. There was a technical difficulty.
is that what we're calling your alarm clock not working?
Yeah, exactly. Technical difficulty.
How was your nap?
It was good. It was unexpected. So there really was no alarm.
Yeah.
That was a technical difficulty.
That was a difficulty.
The next story, I found this interesting. This came out this morning. On Thursday, the LA radar system failed. And as best that Foz and I can guess, it was the Palmdale Center, which is en route and arrivals, I think. Right, Seth? Right, Foz? Is that what you said?
It's en route only. So en route traffic is routed through Palmdale, and approach is out of Tracon is out of San Diego on the northeast corner of the Miramar base.
Okay. So I think it was Palmdale just from what happened, but it all went down completely for a few hours. And at some point it came back up later in the day. But the story that came out today was they believe the cause was a U-2 spy plane flying at some extremely high altitude. And Seth, you think that since it's an old mainframe, ATC is an old mainframe system, you think it overloaded? It had a...
We were just talking about sort of some of the numbers and... Basically, a one byte, an unsigned byte integer, the biggest number you can get is 64K or 65536, I think. And so if that's the sort of size of the data field that they're using to track altitudes, because, you know, whoever flies that high, then if something flew in above that and said, hi, I'm reporting it at 66,000 feet and sent that, you know, data down to the system or a radar picked it up or whatever, I could easily see that being like an overflow that crashed the hell out of the system. I've written code that crashes on things like that all the time.
Yeah.
Because I don't handle large integers in integers very well. So, you know, if they're not scrubbing the data as it comes in, and why would they ever? Because what airplane would ever have that high an altitude? I could very much see that having happened.
Yeah. And
why couldn't you just manipulate the system to report a false altitude if you really want to do a denial of service?
You could. But you have to be an airplane and have a transponder that was, you know, active and all sorts of other things. It's not like I can just hang out on the ground next to it and start throwing data at the ATC system and it'll listen to me.
Well, it'll listen to transponders that aren't registered.
It's true.
All right, so now we're all going to get visits from security officials. Now, this is not good.
No, hey, I was asleep when you guys were talking about this. That's what I'm going to say. The sleep card.
Well, I mean, it's like any other buffer overflow. You can use it to do a denial of service.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what happened. I mean, that's what it sounds like happened. We don't know for sure, of course. But, I mean, the cruise altitude of a U-2 is anywhere between 65,000 and 70,000 feet. So
yeah, it sort of logically makes sense that this could have happened.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of the way – we'll post the article, but that's the way the article reads, is that something continually crashed the system and they couldn't figure out what it was at first. And then they realized it was this plane. So –
so someone at Lockheed is putting in a catch for the buffer overflow.
Right now, as we speak. Yeah. So it was an interesting listening to ATC and watching the traffic in around the LA area, because some flights just diverted. I mean, some flights from, you know, the East Coast turned around and went to Dallas rather than even touch the Southwest. They didn't go to Phoenix. They didn't go to LA or Long Beach. They turned around and went back somewhere else. The Swiss flight from Zurich turned and went to Salt Lake City and landed there for about an hour and a half. So interesting to watch it all happen. I mean, at one point the skies over the Southwest were empty. So it's weird.
That must have been pretty wild.
I would not have wanted to be a controller during that time.
When was this exactly?
It was Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah, this past Thursday. Yeah.
May 1st.
May Day. Maybe May. That's what it was. It was a protest. I don't know. So, anyway. Seth, you had some seaplane adventures in Seattle.
Yeah, when I was out there for between that conference I was just talking about and the FTU weekend stuff, I had Friday off. And so I went with Kenmore Air, which is one of the seaplane operators up there. And they have a facility, I guess, terminal right at Lake Union, which is sort of just north of downtown, and it's right on the lake. Like, the taxiing out is, you know, they've got a fleet of seaplanes, and so the taxi out is you climb into the boat, you know, up the step into the plane part, and it's on pontoons, and it just, they fire up the propeller, someone sort of pushes it off the dock, and you cruise out onto the lake, and like 30 seconds later you're in the air. It's a super quick process up. And then for the northbound flight, I flew out to Friday Harbor, which is about 70 miles away. It was a 45-minute flight or so, so maybe it's a little further. I don't know. About 45 minutes in the air, and it was 1,500 feet, super low. Incredible views. It was a gorgeous day, but incredible views of the San Juan Islands, not downtown, but sort of northern suburban Seattle as we took off, that whole thing. It was really, really incredible. And then from there, I walked to the real airport at Friday Harbor. They have a paved airport as well. And took Kenmore Air Express, which is, they have a separate operator name for their real planes. And so it was a de Havilland Beaver going out and then coming back was a Cessna 208 and flew into Boeing Field.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Down south of town.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
And it's funny. I was a little disappointed when I booked it. I studied their schedule. So like one of the options is you can pay $100 for a 20-minute guided tour and they give you headsets to listen to and someone tells you about all the stuff you're seeing downtown. But it's only 20 minutes. So that was no good. Then they give you a two-hour option for $200, which is basically they put you on one of the flights up to the islands, and you just stay on the plane, and they turn around and bring you back.
Oh,
and that, you know, it's not bad. It would have worked. I wanted to, you know, I decided as long as I'm doing it, I could spend an hour or two walking around, and I wanted more lines. So I did it by booking separate tickets. But when I booked my tickets, I was studying their schedule, and the flight out of Friday Harbor back to Boeing Field was supposed to have a stop on it at another little airport along the way. And like 10 minutes after I bought the ticket, I got an email telling me my flight had been changed and I was now confirmed on the nonstop.
Oops.
And the way I read it was there is only a nonstop. It turns out I think I saw the other plane and it did make that stop still. And because I was using their free shuttle bus service from Boeing Field back to SeaTac, I ended up waiting for the other plane to come in anyways. So I didn't actually save any time and I didn't get the extra line. So I'm a little disappointed by that. But
you should email and complain.
you know, it was one of those things. I decided to let it go.
Demand compensation.
Yeah.
No, damn it. I paid for more flying and taking longer, not the short trip. But coming back was 2,500 feet elevation. But that was one, you know, coming back in, you know, approach into Seattle on a clear day is spectacular. And we were low, just cruised right along the waterfront, right along the skyline there. And just some incredible photos, incredible video from it. So that was a lot of fun.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so I highly recommend it.
On the previous discussion we were just talking about in the breaking news department, NBC claims that it's the ERAM system, which ironically stands for Internet Automation Modernization, which implies it wouldn't be an old system. This would be the new system.
Right.
Written in 1967.
So we've upgraded from assembly to Fortran? Like,
or no more COBOL? What?
Yeah, nice. The modernization project is still what crashed. I love it.
Gotta love it.
Maybe they should just keep that to themselves. I don't
know. No, this is our new modern system, and it still crashed because we still only use a single byte for altitude.
Oh, that's funny and sad. I really want to do the Kenmore Air thing.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of fun. And we have to post a picture of your videos and pictures because they're pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'll put the links to that stuff in the show notes. It really means a couple 2-minute videos of just low altitude awesomeness. Like, I got to sit in the co-pilot seat for the seaplane flight.
Nice.
I asked the guy in the terminal, and I was like, can I do that? He's like, you just talk to the pilot. I'm like, okay. And they started calling boarding, and boarding was, you know, I felt a little GS-esque. They called us by name at my destination. So it was passenger Miller, please come forward.
They do that at Cape Air too, because they wait and balance you ahead of time.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, they asked me for my weight. They weighed my briefcase and everything to make sure everything was good. But so as they called us, they actually called the other four people on my flight first. And so as we were walking out, and the guy's like, and that's the pilot, you know, the gate guy I'd talked to said, ask your pilot, and pointed me at Will, who's my pilot. And he's like, and that's Will, go talk to him. And I sort of pushed past the other people to make sure that I could ask first. I had no shame at all. But I got to ride in the co-pilot seat and look out the front of the plane. So that was awesome.
Nice. Very nice. I'm hoping to do it. You know, I'm moving up that way. I'm having a big, we're moving to the West Coast. So leaving the state of Texas and heading to Oregon. So
nice. Maybe. We got a potential for a whole lot of new lines up there, huh?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I was looking at just some stuff that we want to go do and places we want to hike and some new lines and new dots. I think it'll be fun. So
you're going to change carriers now?
I haven't really decided. Actually, United is still the cheapest out of Portland, oddly enough. So probably stick with them for a little while. But once I hit my 100,000 miles, I'll probably go somewhere else. Maybe Alaskan. Don't know yet. Do you have any recommendations?
I mean, Alaska is decent if you get to fly them. I mean, 40,000 for MVP gold on their medal, and you pretty much get upgraded every time.
Is that all it is?
If it's exclusive on AS medal, you only need 40,000 miles, yes.
Nice. Yeah, because I was looking.
MVP gold 75 doesn't have a lower level, though, does it?
No, the 75K does not.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've only been MVP gold, and I've never missed an upgrade.
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't really looked into Alaskan's program, but they have an early morning Portland to Seattle to Newark flight that would work for me. So I'm probably going to have to fly that a couple times and see how they are. I flew them from Portland to San Francisco, and it was fine. I mean, they do hawk the credit card a lot, but
it's not a great product. I mean, it's not a bad product. It's better than Coach, but as far as first-class products, I wouldn't rate it very high.
Yeah, the Alaska first-class seat is the temporary ones Continental had with the Coito crap, right?
Right, exactly. And the food is very you know, you're better off buying a sandwich or something in the airport before you get on the flight.
Especially in Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna you know, try to get some fair trade, you know, homegrown, you know, quinoa or something.
Hipster meals?
Hipster meal before I get on the plane.
Are you going to have to grow out a beard now? Is that a rule?
No, it's not going to happen. Sorry, not going to happen. No. So.
You say that so confidently.
I am pretty darn sure. So, yeah, I'm looking at this MVP gold flight purchased in YS, B, M, or H classes of service. Get immediate upgrades. What? That's awesome.
It's like the YBMs.
Yeah, but you got like two extra classes of service that you can do it with.
There's more letters.
I'll have to check this out. Okay, cool.
You can also ask the virtual assistant. I think they have one too.
They do. Her name's Jen.
Yeah. I think they had it before United.
They did.
Really?
Yeah. Jen came out before Alex.
Interesting. Well, they have this. That's what I was going to talk about. So Koreans started their flight to Houston on Friday.
Yep.
Landed on Friday morning around I don't know, what was it, 8:30?
Okay. Nine o'clock. It's a morning?
Yeah, it's morning flight. And took back off around 10:30, 10:40. Pretty cool to have another carrier in Houston. So it's right as we're leaving. So I don't know if I'd ever fly them. I mean, their product looks pretty cool, but I don't know. I mean, it is nice to have another option to Asia, because right now the only options out of Houston are Air China and United, Air China to Beijing and United to Tokyo. So, you know, yeah, Seoul's, I think Seoul's a better airport to connect in than Beijing. So,
yeah,
you know, but anyway, I think that's cool. What we got next? We got, oh, the crappy performance of United in first quarter. You guys want to talk about this a little bit?
So, yeah, lost weather. A lot of money.
A lot of money. Well, everyone else made money, it seems.
Yep.
Did anyone else lose money at all? I don't think so. From the financials that I can remember, I don't think anyone else struggled with the first quarter.
No, I don't know for sure.
Delta did really well, and I think American did pretty well. But United blamed it all on weather and upgrades, which...
Never mind the fact that they have a large number of people defecting because they started to suck so badly.
Yeah.
That little part where they didn't actually operate on time, really? That's a problem?
Yeah, I mean, I should keep track of my on-time flights. I really should, because operationally...
It'd be easy, there aren't that many.
Yeah, true. I'd count them on a hand.
I honestly can say I'm not surprised, because, I mean, I remember in January and February, every week when I was going to travel, my flight would get canceled or delayed beyond... Like, and they were all relatively short haul, so I'm like, screw it, I'm driving. So there's probably four or five trips, each at about $1,000, where I just walked away from the trip.
Yeah.
I had some flights, not due to weather or anything, just mechanical issues out of Newark that, I mean, 2 hours delayed, which is ridiculous for a number of weeks. So the only reason I fly is because I have to. I mean, it's the only option here that gets me, when it's on time, into Newark at a decent hour. So I don't know. I mean, you guys think they can turn it around?
I think they need to make some changes, but, I mean, anything's possible.
Rolo's moved a lot of his flying, right? Rolo, you've kind of moved some of your South American flying to American. Are you?
Yeah, just about all my South American flying, and I think that was their profit loss right there.
You do go quite often.
Yeah.
I mean, the flights to Buenos Aires via Houston are leaving. I have to leave so early out of Newark in order not to misconnect, especially now that the summer. But that flight's also full, so it's a lot harder to try to get an upgrade. The first option is the nonstop, but then you have Dallas and you have Miami. So if I'm looking at my flights and say, okay, well, you know, I'm trying to get an upgrade, even if I'm connecting, I'm probably still taking American just because they're just more seats. The United flights, Houston, Newark, Houston's impossible. And then the Buenos Aires flight, they actually sell a lot of those seats, for the oil traffic. But yeah, I mean, that's where I've changed my flying on the South American route. But I find that United, just like you guys say, you know, they need to make changes, because they're losing. They're not just losing high revenue passengers; they're just losing to all sorts of passengers. You know, even carriers. There's Southwest and Delta, and especially out of New York. You know, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, and that's their bread and butter, right?
Yeah, it's interesting to me. Like, you know, they had weather, the snowstorms as their excuse in Q1. Q2, they're going to have fun. They can blame runway construction in Newark, runway construction in San Francisco, and the AirTrain construction. Like, I'm purposely booking away from Newark because I can't get to the airport easily for the next couple of months. So,
yeah, we should remind people, the AirTrain will be shut down. It's buses only at Newark.
Mid-July.
And it's Newark Penn Station, not Newark Airport.
Yeah, which is weird to me, because one of the theories I heard on that is they're doing it that way because the construction must be at the train station, that the Amtrak/New Jersey Transit station. And if that's the case, they hadn't started it, because I went through there the other day on the train coming home on Friday, and it looked like it was completely operational to me. All the air trains were parked, but it didn't look like they were doing construction on one of those platforms or anything.
I think what it could be is they use – don't they have a parking lot over there by that station?
It's just for employee. The problem is – I think the real problem is they can't get enough buses in and out of there.
Yeah.
And there's don't help.
Yeah, there's no parking over there. There's no real facilities. I mean, they've had to do it from time to time in the past, but nothing that you would do on a long-term basis. And this is long enough where.
Yeah, and they can plan it in advance. It's going to be a shitty situation.
And probably they think that there's going to be enough of a drop in traffic that it's not worth doing it.
Yeah.
Well, at least the runway construction is going to be over soon, hopefully. But, I mean, it's sad to see, you know, what was Continental and United kind of just take a nosedive recently. I mean, it's just been – it has not been a fun first quarter, or the end of last year even wasn't very fun. So I think the pilots in Newark were calling for some Isaac's removal. They kind of banded together and said they want him removed.
The interesting thing of that whole thing, I didn't realize that Newark is the largest pilot base.
I didn't realize that either. I would have thought San Francisco, actually.
I would have thought Chicago or Denver, but they claim that this is Newark's the United's largest installation of pilots in the press releases.
Oops. Do you think United's also going to blame the Pulaski Skyway shutdown as part of causing traffic jams that don't let passengers get to the airport? I'm just curious, what other excuses can we give them that they can use that people will maybe believe?
Well, they have 2 years of that, so they can use that for the next eight quarters.
That's going to be fantastic.
But only when you're coming into the city, not when you're leaving.
Right. Well, but you know, I mean, that's going to affect arriving passengers, I guess. So people get so frustrated they just don't take the return half of any other flights. Is that what we're going to go with?
So, I mean, what do you guys think? Like, how do they turn it around, really? I mean, we can say they need to make changes, but what's missing? I mean, I think they need to solve some of their revenue problems, their revenue management problems, to be exact. I think they have a lot of problems with pricing things, and they're turning a lot of people away who are doing somewhat short trips because the prices are much higher than the competition.
But, you know, I would argue that reliability, like pricing is one aspect, but reliability is far more important.
I'm with you, absolutely.
I mean, most people, you know, the bread and butter of their profit is business travelers. And they're somewhat price conscious, but on a large scale, they are not. And, you know, like I use my SoftBank example. If I saw, like, I'm flying a little regional, just a little prop planes. If I see a delay of an hour or I see my plane hasn't even left where it's coming from, I give up at that point because I can drive and I'll be where I'm going faster. And then they have things like Dulles with Air Wisconsin, which is just crap show all around where they'll – and, you know, it's an interesting – flying to D.C. on a regular basis. I'm willing to fly into Dulles. I'm never willing to fly out of Dulles because they can never get planes out on time. But Reagan is pretty punctual in comparison.
I mean, along those lines, you're talking about regional jets. Delta has moved to less of the small regional jets and more of the larger regionals. Do you think that helps? I mean – could United kind of do the same thing? They are going to get some of the E175s, right?
Yep, they've already started taking delivery of them. I don't know that it's necessarily regional versus not that causes the problem. At some level it is, just because the smaller planes get canceled more when there are reasons to cancel flights. You know, I don't necessarily believe that it's, you could say, oh, regional operators are less reliable, right? They have more mechanical problems or things like that. I think, like, you know, the planes are still maintained and all those things are still real. So I don't want to, you know, go too far down that rabbit hole. But
well, I would argue that the regionals are probably – there's not enough padding in the regional schedule. And in some regards, there's a lack of accountability. I actually had a great story from a few weeks ago where I was flying back from Reagan. And I get to the airport. My flight's delayed in like an hour. So I'm like, no big deal. So I go up to the club and they're like, oh. And then I get a triple alert saying, like, my flight's back on time. I'm like, great. So I go downstairs, and then we get told we're delayed again. And so I go back up to the club, and the woman's like, what are you doing up here? I'm like, apparently we're delayed again. She's like, what? She's like, hold on. So she calls downstairs, and you hear her go, okay. Gets off the phone and goes, so here's the problem. I'm like, okay. He goes, your flight came in on time, but someone threw up, and we don't have a heavy crew to clean it. So we had to go find someone. We were able to get someone quicker than we thought. They cleaned it. We were ready to go. Now we're missing a flight attendant. And apparently, so I'm like, oh, okay. So the flight – and then they're like, and the flight attendant – they can't find the flight attendant, but you should go downstairs and chill out for a few minutes and they'll know. I'm like, fine. So I go muster myself back downstairs. And then the gate agent comes on the PA and goes, we found the flight attendant. They were – mind you, this is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, they were asleep in their room and they're on their way over here now.
They obviously didn't set the alarm properly.
You know, in the flight attendant's defense, a well-rested attendant should be, you know, much more able to provide decent service, right? There for your safety.
That's almost overly rested, though.
Yeah, it's
but I think part of the problem is there's a lack of accountability between the regionals and the mainline airline. And, you know, we see this with FIFO information all the time where United.com will say something's on time, but you're at the gate and they're telling you it'll be delayed an hour. And it's because the regional never actually updates the information.
Yeah, that's bad. It's bad. And I don't know if United is worse than the others or it's the one most of us see more often or what. But I think, you know, operational reliability has become such a shit show that there's just nothing, you know, until that gets solved, it doesn't matter what else United does.
Agreed.
When I see some of the connections.
Drink now that we've said that phrase, is that one of the rules these days?
I'm already drinking. I'm drinking a summer Kolsch. So bottoms up, gentlemen.
He's growing his beard and drinking as we speak.
just looking at some of the, like, if I book a flight through Newark that I'm connecting on, to a regional, when I see performance times of 30%, on time performance times of 30%, I kind of just shake my head, like, really? 30%? It means you're not on time 70% of the time. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, 15 minutes or more, it's like really late a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is actually drinking a beer. You could tell when he just did that.
Yeah, it was. gotta make this interesting, you know. So
I think just back to the United thing and like how could, you know, can they even get back? Their competitors are like posting record profits and United here is having these huge losses. So I honestly don't know. There's so many issues. It's like, where do they start? Where do they have to? Yeah. It's going to take a while.
Did you guys see the story about like some of the things Delta's done in terms of like spare parts and stuff, staging around the system to get them up to much higher on-time rates? I mean, they just announced this on Friday, I think they announced April numbers. Their on-time rate in April was 85%.
That's right where you want to be. I mean,
yeah,
that's perfect almost. Yeah. So anyway. I read something similar like that, Seth, about them staging their pilots around different places in the system. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Pilots, I don't know. That would be an interesting and expensive way to do it. But
well, I'll have to find the article. Maybe we can post it in the show notes. But it was something about they were moving pilots. If they knew they were going to need a pilot somewhere at some point, they would keep a spare, basically. That sounds terrible. But they would keep a pilot on call at these locations, and it helped improve their reliability to, you know, an acceptable number. And it was basically problem routes or problem hubs or locations.
Interesting.
I'll have to find the article. I thought someone posted it.
It was a couple weeks ago, right? Or like a week or two ago it came out?
It may have been longer than that. I'll have to find it. I'll look for it. Make a note of that. And
Continental used to do that, because I remember deadheading with a lot of pilots on random flights because they were expecting something to go wrong. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm writing down a note to find that article. Turkish is starting Istanbul. Is it Tafia? Tafia? How do you say this?
I'm going with Taif.
Taif, Saudi Arabia, and then continuing on to Asmara,
which is
Eritrea. You guys want to go get some new lines?
Let's do it.
Actually, my concern there is that Taif, Saudi Arabia, my guess is, doesn't have the sort of transit without visa thing, so we might actually not even be allowed to.
Well, do you have to get off the plane?
Fair point. I just know the transit rules in Saudi Arabia are very challenging. And I don't know if – I thought it was like China where only the major airports had the transit option, but I could be wrong.
You're probably right, but that's if you get off the plane. You may just be one of those, you know, like the island hopper.
Where you never get off the plane?
No, you never get off the island. What are you talking about?
We did get off the plane.
Eventually, we got off the island. Is this their first flight to Eritrea?
I think
another new country to add to their world leading list.
I think so. I need to read the press release that Turkish is releasing on this, but it's interesting in the way, you know, there's been a lot of tag flights out of Saudi Arabia. Lufthansa operated one. There was some repatriation flights out of some Holy Land at some point. Uh-oh.
Hello? Sorry, I was trying to cough the other way.
You get run over by a truck there and they coughing?
No. I turned the other way to cough.
Oh, that was awesome.
Sorry about that.
There's a lot of people who have run these tag flights out of Saudi Arabia. So it's interesting. How much traffic will there be? I guess a lot. I don't know. I mean, should we just try it one time?
You really want to go to Eritrea?
Not really, but.
Okay. Maybe we'll put this one lower on the list from some of the other trips we might take. It's three times a week. It's a 500-mile tag flight. It actually looks pretty entertaining to me.
I think it sounds like a great option for Martin Luther King Day.
Oh my God! Ooh. It's a warm destination.
Exactly. Yeah,
we only do cold.
Well, we could appease people and say this is where we're going.
Maybe we'll propose that to the group. Alrighty then.
See how many people show up. I'm in Asmara, guys. Where are you? Seth, you did some inaugurals too, right?
Yeah, so, this Frontier? Last week was Frontier Airlines. They're building up their Wilmington, Delaware hub, which will be an interesting challenge for them given the limited facilities available there. They launched service. They already had four or five destinations. They launched two more, which were Detroit and Atlanta, which I only realized after the fact, after taking both flights, like, oh, two Delta hubs. But it was a fun day. It was basically the same plane out and back twice with the same crew the whole time. So the first flight was like 8:15 in the morning, and we finished up around 5:30, and it was basically like me hanging out with, there was at least one other guy that did both turns. There were a whole bunch of people that did one or the other. It was a $36 round trip fare for each, so it was, you know, they were desperate trying to fill the plane up. Atlanta was actually full both ways, so that was nice. Detroit was not at all.
Surprise.
No, I had plenty of room to spread out and take a nap, which is nice. But it was interesting. The flight attendants were friendly. I sat in both the stretch seating and the regular seating. Both were reasonable. You know, I mean, the regular coach is just regular coach, but it wasn't like, you know, a Spirit 29-inch option or something like that. It was a decent amount of space for what it was. What I think will be the most challenging for them out of Delaware is they don't cater there, and they also didn't cater in Atlanta or in Detroit. So on the first flight, someone went and ordered a Bloody Mary, and then the third person I heard order the Bloody Mary by row four, they had run out of vodka.
What?
And, like, vodka's one of the things, like, how do you run out of vodka on an airplane? United stocks, like, 100 bottles or something. Not really. It's, like, 40 bottles on a flight, though. There's usually a ton of vodka on board. And somehow they ran out, like, by the fourth passenger at the morning.
Where do they cater it?
So the plane comes in from Denver the night before.
Okay.
So I know they cater in Denver. And I think the same plane went to Chicago that night. They may be able to cater in Chicago. If not, the next morning it was going down to Orlando. And I think they can cater there also.
So is there a reason they can't cater in Detroit or in Atlanta? Do they just not have agreements?
I think they just don't have the agreements in place.
Yeah.
It was just a weird little quirk. You know, it's one of those things that, like, I made small talk with the flight attendant. She actually let me sit in the jump seat up front, which was nice. I usually get yelled at if I touch the seats.
But did they not fly to Detroit before?
They didn't from Wilmington. They did have other service because there's a plane there other than ours.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. So they should have an agreement.
They could, but just because you fly somewhere doesn't mean you have an agreement with the caterers there. I mean, it's right. If it's just top-up service, it's probably an expensive, relatively expensive contract because it's ad hoc to do it.
Well, I'm surprised they don't do it like where some carriers just do their own, like they start to restock themselves rather than hire service.
Yeah. I mean, right. They're trying to be a low-cost carrier, ultra-low-cost, in fact. So. Of course, the flip side of that is they make money selling that stuff, so you think they should have it on board because the margins are good. But anyway, that was surprising to me that they didn't have that available. Other than that, it actually was a reasonably nice day. The flight, the landing in Detroit, we had to go around. Bonus fly time. there was a huge thunderstorm we were landing through, and they made several announcements as we looped. We got down to just below 2,000 feet, and then all of a sudden the pilots gunned it. And they made several announcements over the next 10 minutes or so. Even though it's very bumpy and you might not be feeling well, you really shouldn't get up to go to the bathroom. Look for the air sickness bags on the seat in front of you. I didn't see anybody actually using them, but it wouldn't surprise me if someone did. It was, you know, as we hit the go around, I instinctively grabbed my seatbelt and tightened it up a little more. But it was a bumpy, bumpy approach. I'll also put out there, the last go around I had was sitting next to Mr. Foz, Mahmood.
Where was that?
Let's see if Foz remembers.
Say that again?
My last go around prior to this one, I was sitting next to you.
Was this Tokyo?
Nope. They launched fireworks at us later.
Oh, Panama.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, there was a runway incursion there that someone didn't clear the runway, so we had to go around on that flight. But, anyway, this was, I gotta say, the Frontier, I mean, it's nothing special at all, but I sat next to a guy on the outbound flight, the first of the four flights that day, who was from Deptford, New Jersey, which is not too far away, and normally he uses Philadelphia or Atlantic City, and now he's got Trenton and Wilmington as options. And, you know, parking is at the terminal. Like, the guy is saying to me, like, he said, they let me park in the first row, I could still see my car while I was checking in at the front desk. And it was free. Free parking.
No, it's free parking there, huh?
Yeah, like, it's just all those, you know, and the guy coming back at the end, it was in Atlanta to Wilmington, and the guy lives down in Atlanta, but he's got his base or where he's officially domiciled in Wilmington, and he's part of the Air National Guard, so he's got to commute up there for his monthly commitment, and he normally drives it 12 hours.
What?
Yeah, I thought that was crazy too, but I mean, other than that, or he's got to fly all the way to Philly and then drive back down or whatever, it's just nothing convenient. And he said this, it was like, you know, he didn't pay much. And he got off the plane, he's like, man, I'm going to do this every time. So I'm not sure there's enough of hims out there that makes, you know, enough of a service. And it's only 3 days a week. But maybe they found something. I don't know.
Interesting. What's the terminal like? Do they have any, like, food options or anything in Wilmington?
It pains me to say this, but Gainesville Regional Airport is a more modern facility. And that's where I grew up, and it hasn't really changed in 30 years. I take that back. They filled in the little courtyard amphitheater area and made it closed space and put a bar inside. So Gainesville actually is a little better. There is a small snack bar outside of security. The airport authority, the Delaware or Bridge and Tunnel or something, whatever the authority is that runs
DARPA,
the airport.
The Delaware Authority for Delaware River Authority.
River and Port Authority.
Yeah.
They had their press team in the building, so they were giving out coupons for free coffee in the morning. So I had a tea and a banana for breakfast. And then in the afternoon, they actually had a whole bunch of soft pretzels, which the regional delicacy. And they were giving them out. And so by the fourth time I got there and was chatting with these women who were running the thing, we'd basically become friendly real quickly because I was, had nothing else to do. And they were giving away the pretzels at the end of the day. And I ate, that was my lunch, was 10 of those pretzels because there's nowhere else to actually get a decent meal along the trip. And because the layovers were too short, but at the very end of the day, they were giving away the rest of the pretzels, and they had just little ones that they were people to eat, and then they had big decorative ones. And so I took one of the big airplane pretzels home as a snack and souvenir. It was a 3-foot pretzel. It was awesome.
How did you get there to start?
I took the train from New York down to Wilmington, and then actually met up with a friend for dinner the night before. Spent the night at one of the less spectacular hotels I've ever been in. And then onward, the Quality Inn at the airport. So
I see that on the map as I'm looking on Google Maps. I actually see
the Quality Inn.
Yes.
Shouldn't stay there. If you haven't read my hotel review of it, you should. It's spectacular.
It looks like a very quality establishment.
Their big advertisement in the room is but we've got the awesome Q shower. And the Q shower comes with a curved rod to allow for more space. It has a translucent curtain to allow more light in and multiple spray settings on the shower head. It is essentially claiming we're almost as good as a Hampton Inn.
Wow.
And so I did a trip report / hotel review of said shower because, damn it, if you're going to advertise that, I am going to review it. So.
Interesting.
Anyway, I think the short answer is I'm flying Frontier again in July on the St. Augustine to Trenton route. Again, it was sort of convenient timing and reasonable price for what I needed. It'll be interesting to see how they do long-term with the new plan to become, fees for everything everywhere and whatnot. But in this case, these routes, at least the operations were decent the day I took them.
Nice.
Their on-time rate is worse than United's generally, so, take that for what it's worth.
Oh. So do we have a Rolo rant this week?
We do, and I actually sent a tease the other day when I was down.
I think I tweeted it out a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Our Twitter followers, you've seen this one already.
It was a sneak preview of what was to come. And this rant is courtesy of the Star Alliance Lounge in Buenos Aires Airport. I'm looking at the picture here just to read what it said. So it says, we offer the fastest possible internet connection available at this airport. We apologize for any inconvenience and are working with service providers to change this in the future.
I just think it's a bad translation.
Well, yeah, forget the translation. They don't offer any internet service at the lounge.
Oh, really?
They tell you you have to use and they give you the name of the network. It's the airport. It's using the airport's internet.
Oops.
So it's and you have to put in an email address, and you're actually using the Buenos Aires 2000 or Airports 2000 internet, but it doesn't even work. So in the lounge, I had to actually go in and thanks I have T-Mobile, so it didn't matter. So I tweeted the picture on my roaming because it didn't work. The internet just you log in, it says welcome, whatever, and then you can't go anywhere. There's no browsing, and you see everybody in the lounge trying to go to the desk and ask them how. Oh, is this the right internet? Which one's the network? They bring the sign. It was pretty entertaining to watch. I ended up leaving and going to the American Express lounge, but it's extremely funny because the translation's wrong, but they actually don't even have. And I think maybe that's what they're trying to say, that they're trying to get a new provider. Which when the lounge first opened, they had their own it's called Star Alliance or something else. So I really don't know what happened. I don't know if the airport made them change to the one regional the one internet. For a while they were actually telling you, oh, our internet's working, our internet's broken. Use the airport one. But I think right now that's all they have. So I was not happy with the situation.
Did you need to use the internet?
I actually did. I needed to. I was trying to look something up for.
How else was he going to share the picture of how awesome the internet was?
Well, I'm sorry, Rolo, that your experience was so bad.
Yeah, well, I'll go back down there soon enough. In a month, so I'll see what happens. If they still have the sign
I'm
up.
I'm curious, though, why were you flying the Star Alliance Lounge? Don't you have to put all your South America travel all on American?
Yeah, but this one time I was flying United back.
And see what a mistake that was?
Yeah, you see, and they blame the weather that the internet didn't work, so when I complained to United.
You sure
at least it wasn't a flash of time.
Sorry, Spaz, I stepped on.
Yeah, we couldn't hear. I
said at least it wasn't the Pulaski Skyway.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, the next conference call, we'll have to hear the earnings report, and then they say, well, the internet in Buenos Aires is causing part of our profit to be down. So, anyway. Yeah, that was my rant.
All righty. Well, I think we've been rambling enough here, and it's getting time for – it's almost post time for the Derby. So let's go around the room real quick and tell them where you can find them. Steven?
I'm at badice.com or on Twitter at scgraves.
Excellent. Rolo?
I'm on Twitter at mundosurfer, and I'm on Tumblr at mundosurfer.tumblr.com.
Foz?
I'm on Twitter as FozM and on upgrd.com/Foz.
And I am Seth. I'm the Wandering Aramean, WANDR.ME. You've been listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations. We're at Dots, Lines on Twitter or moredotsmorelines.com. Have a safe trip. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Take care.